Let me tell you a fun fact. Within the last two centuries, more than 90% of the world's millionaires have been created by investing in real estate. But if done incorrectly, without the right knowledge, required skills, or partners, it can also create a ton of problems and a lot of sleepless nights. You feel like sometimes there are way too many gurus out there trying to sell you on a weekend course, or just too much noise to cut right to the facts? Yup. We did too, and this is why we started this podcast. Our goal is to provide real estate investors, entrepreneurs, and enthusiasts with all of the most recent knowledge, secrets, tips, tricks, and tactics so that you can grow your own portfolios, increase your returns, net worth, and most importantly, create generational wealth for you and your loved ones. Remember, this is your real estate career. Information is your sword and shield. So eat hearty, prepare for battle, and grind your way to victory. My name is Tejas Gosai. I'm joined by my partner, Jeremy Moyer, and we welcome you to the Real Estate Investor MBA podcast.
How you doing, guys? Welcome to the Real Estate Investor MBA podcast with Tejas Gosai and Jeremy Moyer. So we just had a really awesome guest on, Travis Watts. So it just came out of that interview. Tejas, what do you think?
Amazing. He made a good argument for passive investing, and he really went through like each little piece. I think we did a good job on questioning him too. but super knowledgeable and very accessible. He really laid it out super well.
Yeah, you know, we go into a little bit of a thought process on diligence on his end as a passive investor, and he actively invested. I didn't know that for quite some time beforehand, and you know, really brought the return on time equation into it to evaluate what made sense for him and his family. So he, as he just mentioned, laid out a really good, I guess,
roadmap.
Roadmap. Yeah, that's a good word. And his thought process about it. So it's I think you guys are going to enjoy it.
And even if you're actively investing, this is good for potential future. Also, real quick, Jeremy, we try to share some good stuff here. There's some things going on currently in the United States. So there is a tax that, capital gains is changing on. So I'll just read some of this. All of the many revenue-raising ideas that have bubbled up out of Washington, the recent proposal to tax unrealized capital gains is particularly jarring, even though the report suggests the proposed tax would apply only to people with at least $1 billion in assets or anyone who has earned a lot of money. Just this part, I think, is interesting. It's naive to believe that Congress will stop there. And that's all I wanted to put there. I don't really want to go into any politics, but I think that a lot of what we do and what we share is really important, and there are changes happening. So, you know, stay informed, keep in touch with us. We'd like to share these topics, and happy hunting.
Thank you.
Hey guys, welcome back to your favorite real estate podcast. This is Real Estate Investor MBA. I have my partner, Jeremy Moyer.
How you doing?
I think we have about 50 episodes or more now. And we love you guys, so thank you for keeping us in business. and you know, really, the whole goal here is to learn about these topics, enjoy passive or active real estate investing. That's how Jeremy and I met. I actually sold a bunch of his real estate, and then we came up with this podcast. And now we're everywhere. Thank you to you. So iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio. What other ones?
I think TuneIn is the other one. Yeah. Yeah. We're all over the place.
Yeah. And LinkedIn, Facebook. So let's get to the show. We got a great guest today. Jeremy, you mind bringing him in?
Absolutely. So today we have Travis Watts with us. Travis, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks, you guys, for the invite.
Absolutely. So Travis is a full-time passive investor. He's been investing in real estate since 2009 in multifamily, single family, and vacation rentals. He's also the director of investor relations at Ashcroft Capital. He dedicates his time to educating others who are looking to do more hands-off in real estate. So Travis, thanks again for your time. We're really excited to kind of get into some of the questions.
Yeah, you bet.
So before we kind of get into some of the main areas that we want to cover today, you know, can you tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself and how you got started investing in real estate?
Sure, yeah. So first and foremost, I'm just passionate about real estate in general. I spent many years doing active real estate, as you pointed out, did vacation rentals, did fix and flips, started out originally with just house hacking, right? Just renting out a spare bedroom in a house. And that's when I first discovered passive income, the advantages that real estate can bring. And so over the years, fortunately, I was able to get to a point where I could pursue this on a full-time basis. And as you pointed out, I'm a full-time passive investor today. So what that means is I'm really investing in other people's deals. So I'm trying to leverage the expertise, skill set, and track record of other folks and other firms who are doing multifamily, for the most part, apartment buildings in a value-add business model. Primarily. So they're going to buy these larger assets, renovate them, and then 3-5 years down the road, generally speaking, sell them off for hopefully a profit higher than what we paid for them. So
hopefully,
you know, there's always risk in investing, right? So I can't make it sound like rainbows and butterflies all the time. But for the most part, it's been a tremendous journey. I'm just an advocate on all aspects of real estate, whether you're just getting started and you're in your 20s and you're wondering about house hacking or whatever, to the 70 some year olds out there wondering what syndication means and how you become a passive investor or how you find yield in today's world, you know, with low interest rates and all the rest. So that's generally it in a nutshell. And so about 6 years active, 6 years passive, 12 years total with a passion for helping others understand what all this is and whether or not it's right for you.
That's tremendous. And when you started actively investing, when you started, was the transition to passive pretty much full time, like in the back of your head as like a strategic plan, or did that kind of just come up along the way? Or
it was that's an interesting answer and interesting question. So I was working in the oil industry, completely unrelated to what I do today. Okay, I was doing 14-hour days. I was doing 98 hours per week. I was working out of state, away from home, worked in Saudi Arabia, Middle East, Kuwait. It was just a ton of work, you know, but I was single, unmarried, no kids, you know, no pets. I thought, hey, what else do I have to do with my time, right? So fully working for the dollar, working for the paycheck, and being as frugal as I could be for so many years, and putting what I could save into real estate. And I guess my goal was, a bit naively, what my goal was, is one day I just hope to open my eyes in the morning and say, hey, I have 100 single family homes now. I guess I'm retired, you know, whatever age that may come at. But not even 20% into this strategy of trying to scale single family up, I burned myself out. You know, it took about 6 years, but I was trying to go too hard, too fast. I didn't have enough time to dedicate to it. And so it was two gentlemen from a local real estate meetup group that I was introduced to who had sold their businesses about 20 years prior to me meeting them. And they were full-time limited partner investors, primarily in multifamily syndications. All of that was jargon to me. I'm like, I don't know what a syndication is. You know, tell me more about multifamily. What does limited partner mean? You know, so to your point, no, this was never like the goal to end up kind of on the path that I'm on. And that was a light bulb moment for me to realize, wait a second, I could still get cash flow, equity upside, tax advantages, leverage, the whole deal, but I don't actually have to be doing all this myself. And that was just a game changer for me. So that happened in about 2015. And one by one, as I was selling my properties, my single family properties, I started rolling those funds into multifamily syndication. So took about 18 months, give or take, to transition my portfolio over. And of course, I'm just simplifying, you know, all of, I mean, it was just 2015 was a huge year of education and being scared and being skeptical and the whole deal, right? But I dedicated to it because I did one syndication deal. And that was the promise to myself. I said, I'm not going to dive in head first into something I don't know or understand. But if this seems to be like a real viable strategy, this is kind of the answer I was seeking to be more hands-off with real estate. And so I did one deal, waited about 6 months, made sure that distributions were actually getting paid out, making sure that I actually received the updates that I was told I would receive. And when I saw it was really happening and that I had these other folks in my network who had been doing this way longer than me, I thought, okay, that's the path I want to be on then. So.
Yeah. I got a question on, rate of return and things like that, because sure. People assume with active investing, you're going to get a much higher return, and passive investing must not be as profitable because you're not doing the work. Mm-hmm. So I think if you can speak on that, because yeah. I mean, a big part of our program is also like telling people to invest in real estate by, do all the mm-hmm. things that you had just mentioned. What's kind of a reason to not go that route and speedline to this?
Yeah, I would say that. So the classic saying of it takes money to make money, I would argue is not always true. But in the sense of being a limited partner like I am in investing in syndications, it is true. So I guess to put that a different way, if you don't have any money to invest, maybe what I'm talking about doesn't make any sense. And quite frankly, it wouldn't have made sense to me back when, when I was 20 years old, just getting started with the amount of liquidity and capital that I had, I wouldn't have gone and put it in a passive deal where I'm just getting some, to make up an example number, like a 8% a year cash flow, right? Because it just wouldn't have made a bottom line impact to my life, to go have $50 a month passive income. That wouldn't be a game changer in my world. But as I mentioned, as I was earning money at a W-2, being frugal, saving, investing, flipping homes, doing all these different things, I built up a nest egg. And the way I always look at it is, forget about my situation and my numbers. Just think about these numbers. If you had $1 million to invest now, and now we're talking 8% a year, now you're talking $80,000 a year. That starts to change a lot of people's lives, whether it means, hey, I could switch to part-time work instead of full-time, or hey, maybe I could retire in my 40s or 50s, not my 70s or 80s. This is the kind of stuff where passive investing, in my opinion, starts to make a lot of sense. So simply put, I would say, I started active, and I did, to your point, I had higher return on investment, generally speaking. That wasn't always true. I've done some passive deals where I actually made more than I used to make on flips. But conversely, the opposite is true too, where, I doubled money on some flips, and then in a passive deal, generally speaking, I don't do that, not in that same time frame. So the bottom line is this. I made this video like a year or two ago on YouTube, real short snippet, and I said 15% annualized return from managing a single family home actively, 10% return doing a passive deal in a syndication. Okay, the way I look at it is that extra 5% you're getting for the single family home, to your point, you're paying yourself for your time, energy, and effort to make that happen. So you gotta be a little self-aware, I think, of what is your time worth, And back in my early 20s, quite frankly, I would work for $20 an hour any day on any project, right? But today, absolutely not. So just, and a lot of people who are limited partners like I am are more like, doctors, dentists, lawyers, attorneys. You got to think, these guys are billing out hours at 200, 300, 400 per hour. Does it make sense to go work for $20 an hour on the weekend? Probably not. It's obviously a personal preference, but I would say no in that situation. So, sure. So that's kind of the high level of it.
That's a good answer.
It helps. All right.
No, I love the return of time. I don't think that gets talked about enough, and I like that you touched base on that, Travis. So I would kind of take the interview in a little different direction. Listener listening to this, I have money. It sounds great. Maybe they're thinking, do I go active? Do I go passive? And this is the first time they're hearing that. They just thought, I have money, I can go buy real estate. Mm-hmm. What's the next step for them? And obviously education on the asset class is very important. Sure. What type of due diligence do you perform? I guess there's operator risk, there's market risk, there's asset type risk. I mean, there's business plan risk. Like, you know,
yeah,
for the due diligence when you started to today, is it different? Is, you know, what is that? Can you just speak a little bit? I know that's a really long question. It probably can be like an hour long answer, just to give high level information, just so they can kind of start digging deeper.
Yeah, you know, I've always been of the mindset that, you know, you and I and anybody listening, we're never going to know 100% of anything, okay? And a lot of folks, myself included, especially in the earlier days, would get caught up in analysis by paralysis, right? I just felt like I can't pull the trigger. I can't make a decision here until I know X, Y, Z, and everything in between. And the truth is, you know, if you can know 60 to 70% of, you know, the foundation of what you're doing and the risks and all these different things, in my opinion, then this is the time to either move forward or pull back, you know, depending on what you want to do. And so how I start this process these days is I start with the goal in mind. What am I really doing here? Why real estate? Why passive income? Why tax advantages, right? It's not just dollars and cents. We're all doing something to get to an outcome. Maybe it's a lifestyle you want to have. Maybe it's X amount in the bank. Maybe it's retire at 50, you know, whatever your goal is. So I start there and I start thinking about what is that goal? I try to, you know, visualize that. I try to articulate that. I try to, you know, sometimes I'll get on Google Images and put together like a little picture board. And I'm just really trying to clarify the message, what I'm doing and why. Then it's about reverse engineering. What kind of investments would get me to that outcome potentially, right? Is it stocks? Is it bonds? Is it mutual funds? Is it real estate? Is it cryptocurrency? Well, for me, a big part of my goal and my mission and my wife as well has been about what we call time freedom. So it's about flexibility of lifestyle and freeing up our time, the ability to go travel, the ability to spend time with family or friends, you know, this kind of stuff. So with that, we found that a primary key component is passive income. It's monthly distributions, whether that comes from interest, royalties, dividends, cash flow from real estate. You've got to have money that's coming in to help support your lifestyle so that you can't be dependent on a job where you're tied down 9 to 5 and you have no other options and you have 2 weeks vacation a year, that kind of stuff. So for us, syndications make a lot of sense because we get usually equity upside. That's, you know, buying low, selling high, like so many people invest, regardless of how they invest. And then we have passive income to help support a lifestyle. And then along the way, we're saving a lot in taxes too, because as we all know, real estate has tremendous tax advantages. So it's right for us, but it's not right for everyone. And so now we get into it. If I had decided that syndications are something I want to look into, or that might perhaps get me to my goals, now we start the due diligence conversation. Now it's, okay, what kind of syndications? There's all kinds, right? These private placements, you could do new development, value add, opportunistic, self-storage, mobile home parks, multifamily, hospitality, you know, list goes on and on. So this is where the education really comes in, right? So you need some books, you need some podcasts, maybe some mentors. You really got to understand what your options are. And then you have to find groups who are doing what it is meets your criteria. To me, I like Class B properties, you know, a little bit older with a value add component. I like monthly distributions. There's particular markets I like to invest in. I like particular unit sizes of property. But this all came from the self-education, right? I couldn't have just known this stuff. I had to go out and I had to do a little bit of actively passive work, as I like to say. And so now it's vetting operators and sponsors and markets and, to your point, asset types and classes. And that could literally, to your point, be an hour long conversation in itself. You know, how do you do all that kind of due diligence? But I don't want to make it seem overwhelming or too much for someone who's just hearing about this for the first time, because everyone's process is different. The thing I find most important is to identify your goals and learn about the foundation of what this stuff is. If you feel like those two are in collaboration, do more research. But if you feel like, you know, I'm not willing to put in that time, effort, energy, or I just want to rely on a financial advisor to do X, Y, and Z, that's totally cool. But this probably isn't going to fit into your world, quite frankly. So that's my answer to that.
No, I think it's great. And I will add you know, everything that you just mentioned and all those people are the network that you are using for your passive investments. It's very similar to on the active side too. You're looking at, you know, the markets, the folks, the people, and, you know, without exactly saying it, networking, you had to do a lot of networking to get to your place. And I'm assuming, you know, different markets, you're working with different real estate agents and then folks that are hunting properties, maybe doing even mailers and things like that. Can you talk about the detail of how you get a deal and some of those pieces?
Yeah. So on the active side, this is sort of what burned me out, I guess, when I was doing it all myself is, A, I just didn't have a lot of time. I mentioned I worked 98 hours a week. That was my W-2 job. Well, and I had very little time off aside from that. So what time I did have off, I was trying to do the mailers and hunt for properties and build teams and find realtors and brokers and off-market stuff. And, you know, it just got to be too many elements. So when you're a hands-off investor like I am today, a limited partner, I'm letting a team do all of it, all of it. They're building relationships with brokers. They're finding off-market deals. They're underwriting the deals. They're raising the capital for the deals. They're managing the deals. They're putting professional property management on the deals. They're managing the construction crews that come in and renovate the deals. I am just the guy that says, you know, here's $50,000. I want to partner with you in that deal. Send me a distribution, you know, when you can, ideally on a monthly basis. And so, you know, that all sounds good, but yes, there's definitely still, you know, risks and trade-offs, right, to all of that. So, it's important to recognize that, to your point earlier, maybe if you went out and did it all on your own, you might get a higher return, which is great, but do you have the time to go do all that? I don't know. It kind of depends on the person.
No, that's awesome, Travis. What are some common mistakes, in your opinion, passive investors, maybe new passive investors, make? Let's say they did the goal setting exercise, and this is what they want to do. They picked syndications for just a avenue, that vehicle to invest in. Real estate, maybe they're still kind of looking at what specific asset class intrigues them. But once they get to that stage and they want to pull the trigger, they don't want to have that analysis by paralysis. Like, what common mistakes, in your opinion, do some investors make?
Yeah, both from the perspective of working as director of investor relations, speaking with thousands of investors, and from my own personal investing perspective, being an investor and making a lot of mistakes early on, especially, I would say it's looking too heavily at projections. A lot of folks, this is where you easily can get caught up in analysis by paralysis, right? There's all these metrics, you know, your T12s and your IRRs and your cash on cash and your, this property's a 1975, this one's a 1982, this one's 200 unit, that one's 400 unit. There's all these different things to look at and think about and consider, when in reality, to me, it's far more important to look at the operator themselves and their ability to actually execute the business plan than it is the deal. If they're experienced and they have track record and they know what they're doing and they're competent, they're more than likely doing a good deal because they're more than likely putting their own money in the deal and they don't want to bash their track record, right? So that was my mistake in the beginning, is I'm looking at these shiny numbers and these great looking, you know, glossy brochures. And I'm thinking, oh man, this seems so good. But the operator failed to actually deliver that result. And then I learned so much about what's really important in this stuff. So anymore, I put more faith, trust in an operator based on, you know, their experience and what they do.
It's almost like you're saying the market doesn't matter as much because there's somebody who is, you know, slaying that market for you and they have a good deal, and it could be in any market.
I would say, okay, so the risk points in my mind are the sponsor, the deal itself, and the market, okay? And the emphasis, like the percentages, again, just personal opinions here, 50% the operator and their ability to actually execute, 25 and 25 between market and deal. They're all important. You can't, you know, pick a horrible market and have great success. You can't pick a horrible deal, even though the market's good. And of course, we talked about the operator. So markets are hugely important. From a high level as an LP, you're looking for where are businesses and people moving to, you know, and what's the landlord-tenant laws there and what's the taxation look like in that area? Is it growing and expanding? Are people, you know, moving away? There's a lot of different things. You want to look at schools, surrounding neighborhoods, average home prices as a comparison to rent. There's a lot of different metrics. But again, all that comes from simply getting a good book, listening to a good podcast, finding a good mentor, taking a good course on, you know, how-tos of all of this stuff. And it doesn't take a tremendous amount of time. I'm an example of perhaps overkill on self-education. I read 52 books in 2015 on this subject and related subjects to try to get a good grasp. I don't recommend anybody do that. That was crazy. but, you know, getting two or three good books perhaps and taking about a year and letting it kind of sink in and considering it probably is a good idea.
Mitigating risk from the risk points that you just brought up, Travis. In your personal portfolio, in your opinion, do you mitigate that by diversifying different markets, different operators? You know, are you kind of like a one egg all in one basket and you just watch that egg closely, or do you, you know, different eggs and different baskets type of approach?
I'm glad you brought that up, Jeremy, because there are really those two philosophies, right? You hear the guru, so to speak, say one of those two things usually, right? I went all in on this deal that I thought was incredible and I tripled my money or whatever it is, you know, venture capital stories. And then you've got the diversify, 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 right? So I lean more towards the diversification side of things. And that's just off my own personal experience of I went really heavy on a couple deals individually that didn't quite work out the way we all intended. And then I learned a lot from that. I thought, you know, in hindsight, I would have rather put, say, $50,000 in that deal versus $200,000 in that deal, that kind of scenario, you know. And so I've partnered with about 14 different groups in the industry among, I don't know, 35 plus different deals. And so I'm in different markets. You know, like I live in Florida. I love Florida. I invest in Florida. But guess what? Florida's got hurricanes. You know what I mean? So do I want to put everything in Florida and then have the world's biggest hurricane come through and demolish my portfolio? No. So I like Texas. But guess what? Texas has tornadoes, you know? So yeah. Do I want everything in Tornado Alley? No, I don't. And so this is why I'm in all kinds of markets and all kinds of deals among all kinds of sponsors. And then I go a little heavier on groups I really know and trust, ones that really have underpromised and over-delivered. And so I've got, you know, like 30% of my deals with Joe Fairless and Ashcroft, for example, because I've been investing with them. They're probably the longest standing group that I've continued reinvesting with. So, but again, that's just me. You know, I'm not giving advice to anybody else. That's just been my experience and how I look at it.
How about last question on the program, networking? Can you just talk about how important your networking has been to get to where you are?
Yeah, you know, networking is really key to everything, right? Because you have to expand your context. Just like I shared the story of meeting the two gentlemen who had sold businesses, become LPs in the first place. Had I not gone to a networking event, I wouldn't have met them. Had I not met them, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. You know, so yeah. It's a people business. Real estate's always a people business. I don't care what you're doing in real estate, whether you're house hacking, whether you're flipping, whether you're a passive investor, it's always about people. So you got to get around people. I've spent a lot of time going to conferences nationwide, big real estate events, local real estate meetup groups, online forums like Bigger Pockets. You know, I try to get out there on social media and outlets that you know, people want to network in, and blogs and forums. So you just have to do it to an extent. And I recognize not everyone has the time I have to dedicate towards that kind of thing. But again, simplify it for yourself. Say, look, this year, I'm going to do one real estate conference, and I'm going to attend one local real estate meetup group. I think that alone is going to have a good ROI for you in some regard. You're going to meet someone, you're going to learn something. And then down the road, you're going to think, man, I'm really glad I did that. So it's been key. It's been fundamental. One note on mentors is they don't have to be paid. A lot of people think when I say find a mentor, it's like, oh, you know, these $50,000 coaching programs, I don't have the money for it. Most of my mentors have been free. Those that haven't have been usually like an hourly rate. And I usually just get real organized on what I want the outcome to be and what my questions are and just bang through them, you know? So a couple $100 could be worth tens of thousands if you do it that way.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And here's how you get a hold of Travis. It's ashcroftcapital.com/Travis. Super easy. A good looking guy. and yeah, I'm sorry we got a cut here, but you've been awesome. Super, super educational. This is Real Estate Investor MBA. We ran out of time. We can't give you a big outro. We love you guys. We'll see you soon. Cheers. Thanks, Travis.
Thank you.